Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Monday, February 20th, 2023. I'm Naima Latif, and today we're going to take a look at the Chicago mayoral candidates and their views on education. Where do the candidates for Chicago mayor stand on education? Well, they were recently asked 10 questions, and we'll share with you their responses. The new or returning mayor will reappoint a school district CEO, and 7 school board members to oversee the district that is $9.5 billion in its budget, and it has 635 schools and has the responsibility of educating 322,000 children. This information was provided by Mauricio Pena of Chalk Beach, Chicago, and Becky Favia of Chalk Beach, Chicago. Well, Chicago voters will head to the polls February 28th to vote for a new mayor. There are 9 candidates on the ballot, and if nobody gets more than 50%, the top 2 will head to a runoff April 4th. The winner will be the last mayor to have control of Chicago public schools before the district transitions to being governed by an elected school board. Once elected, the new or returning mayor will appoint a school district CEO and 7 school board members to oversee the nation's 4th largest school district. Its $9.5 billion budget, 635 schools, and the education of 322,000 children. All 9 candidates come to the race with varying experience in education. To better understand how each one would tackle the challenges facing Chicago public schools, Chalkbeat asked each candidate the same 10 questions, some of which came directly from readers. Readers can find the candidates' answers right here. And you can go to blockclubchicago.org. That's blockclubchicago.org. Chicago Public Schools is no longer the nation's 3rd largest school district after a decade of enrollment decline. The loss of students has had significant impact on neighborhood high schools in particular. First question was, how will you address declining enrollment? And this is the answer from the candidates. Cam Buckner. With key leadership changes and strategic investments, Chicago's public education system can be a valuable tool to bridge equity gaps that have plagued our city for generations. If we want students to enroll in our schools, they must be best in class. We need to work with Springfield to make sure that our schools receive funding based on need, not based on criteria that have only perpetuated inequalities and inequities. I've led this fight in Springfield as a sponsor on HB 258, which seeks to create a more equitable funding formula for our schools. I would work with ISBE to accommodate factors such as generational trauma and poverty in the funding formula. We need to empower our principals to create and foster thriving school communities. When students leave our district schools, CPS should be holding exit interviews with their families to understand their reasons for leaving and find a way to do better. This data is priceless and can give us the tools we need to buck these trends. We also need to give schools sufficient resources to manage day-to-day student needs, which I outline in my comprehensive education plan. Jesus Chuy Garcia states, the sharp decline in student enrollment since the early 2000s has financial and organizational consequences for CPS, but it is a mistake to see this as a school-only problem. The declines in enrollment track the declines in population. We've already talked about my public safety plan. Separately, we can talk about inclusive economic development, community reinvestment, and how we bring capital and people to Chicago. To start, CPS has to find and reengage with the students they lost during the pandemic. I cannot overemphasize this point. Those children need our help. They are vulnerable. We need to find them. We need to bring them back into the system and provide all the support they need to get back on track. To do this, we need the proper administrative support, social services resources, and mental health staff in our schools to re-engage and retain our students. Every school needs to be welcoming and appropriately connected with the community it serves. That should take a variety of forms: staying open after school for a community, offering classes for adults, to better learning, after school activities, and athletic options. We won't grow enrollment unless Chicago is a healthy, safe, competitive city in all neighborhoods. Next candidate, Jamal Green. I believe that we address enrollment in two ways. We must work to build a city that families want to stay and raise their children in, and fight to ensure the education we provide is high quality and comprehensive, so families within the city feel confident sending their children to CPS schools. Next candidate, Brandon Johnson. If you recall, that decade began in 2013 with the greatest closure of Black and Latinx schools in Chicago's history. If we can build sustainable community schools alongside quality, affordable housing, we will reverse the trend. We must also tackle the violence epidemic with more holistic measures that provide resources and trauma intervention for students and families. Mayors Rahm Emanuel and Lori Lightfoot have both presided over precipitous declines in pre-kindergarten enrollment. This is not simply a result of demographic change, but the district moving to an online, centralized application process for preschool that is elitist and prejudiced against families with little access to technology. Enrollment also decreases due to poor program design. This is also evident and a number of special education crises. From state monitor to transportation, over the last 10 years, schools' communities need direct investment, guarantees of staffing and program offerings. Every school should have a library and librarian, adequate clinicians and counselors, thriving arts offerings and sports programs and teams. And the mayor of Chicago has an obligation to be actively fighting in partnership for the revenue required to fulfill those basic needs for every school in the city, not just some. Next candidate, Sophia King. We have to grow as a city in order to improve and sustain our neighborhoods. In order to attract and retain people in our city, we need safety and good schools. People will not stay in Chicago or come to Chicago if they do not feel safe or have good schools to send their kids. We can grow the school population by putting resources into existing schools and increasing the growth of selective enrollment school options. However, with a strong neighborhood component, we see that good neighborhood schools attract population. Before the anticipated new South Loop High School has even been built, it's already oversubscribed. The same with Bronzeville Classical. People want good schools in which to send their kids. This has to be coupled with increased housing stock and strong neighborhood corridors. I will seek to increase the overall population in the city by incentivizing growth downtown and in our neighborhoods. I will give incentives to our essential workers like teachers, police, and fire to relocate to our neighborhoods. We can use no-interest loans backed by city bonds for essential workers that buy, build, or rehab housing in the neighborhoods. We will also seek to engage more students targeting 7th and 8th graders before they become disengaged in order to mitigate the attrition that occurs before high school, thus increasing enrollment and per capita income. One estimate puts the number of dropouts in Chicago between the ages of 15 and 20 at 40,000. Bringing back just a fraction of those young people can increase enrollment and mean millions in federal funding to CPS, approximately $1,200 per pupil. Next candidate, incumbent Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Declining enrollment is a serious concern, and it has been largely driven by population declines in majority Black South and West Side neighborhoods following decades of disinvestment. Reversing declining enrollment cannot be accomplished by CPS alone. It requires the public and private sectors working together to marshal resources into these neighborhoods to expand economic opportunity, improve public safety, and invest in schools. That's why CPS's 2023 budget includes more than $600 million in investments for facility improvements at neighborhood schools, upgrades to technology, investments in new academic programming, and more. That's also why we're prioritizing initiatives like our $2.2 billion Invest Southwest program and our $1 billion affordable housing investment. Additionally, I have heard from parents across the city that they need stability. Many parents have opted to leave CPS for either the suburbs or other school systems within Chicago when they have felt like they cannot depend on CPS being open and available for their children, which undermines CPS and all it aspires to accomplish on behalf of students. We should all be able to agree that we must continue to create a safe, nurturing, in-person environment for our students and to center students' and parent voices and concerns. And the next candidate, Roderick Sawyer. Declining enrollment is a symptom of a sick city. But we need to address the symptoms as we fix the root cause. CPS spends far too much money on administration, overhead, and costs that have little or nothing to do with educating our children. First, we have to take immediate action to stem the loss by addressing the issues driving families out of our neighborhoods. Right now, that means making our marginalized communities safer and creating job opportunities to keep families, Black families in particular, from fleeing Chicago. Then we have to reduce waste in CPS, a system in which only about 60% of the revenue goes to educating students. It's imperative we do this before cutting the system loose under a representative, elected school board, because it needs to be solvent to start this new chapter. We spend nearly $30,000 per student, just about the most of any city in the nation, and the results are poor. Then we have to fundamentally reinvent how we educate children in Chicago. A world-class city needs a world-class educational system. Next candidate, Paul Vallis. Making the schools more attractive to parents by allowing for schools to take on specialties as well as bring back the work-study program for high school students. We must make our schools safe so students feel comfortable in their learning environment. We must also have the dollars make it down to the school level. Right now, only 60% of the budget makes it to the schools. In my career, I have worked to make education meaningful to students, allowing a greater trust in the system by not only the students, but also their parents. I would also expand the alternative school network to provide for the educational needs for high school students too old for the traditional high school program. And last candidate, Dr. Willie Wilson. I will make our neighborhood safer and reduce taxes. People are leaving Chicago in large numbers because of crime and taxes. Also, I will work with parents, teachers, and key stakeholders in those communities with low enrollment to determine ways to enhance schools and enrollment. And that was the answer to the first survey question, which was, how will you address declining enrollment? And, of course, that is an issue that is of concern because, as many candidates observed, when families leave the city, children leave the city. When children leave the city, schools have less students. This was the major issue that led to the closing of 50 schools during the administration of Mayor Rahm Emanuel. And the alderman of the city council agreed with that measure based on the numerical facts that many of these school buildings were not occupied to the fullest capacity, and as a result, resources were being wasted, spaces being heated that did not have bodies in them to be heated, and the maintenance of large areas that were unused. And the only plan at the time was to close the schools, but that decision was detrimental to many of the students who then had to go far out of their neighborhood to attend a public school facility. This combining of school districts led in many cases to acts of violence between children or acts of violence perpetuated on children going to and from school by the local neighborhood children. So the process of traveling to school itself was no longer safe. And the answers to the declining enrollment have to take into account that relocation changes the social conditions of the child. These changes have had a detrimental effect for many students, for the stability of the school and the school communities. So the answer to this question was critical in seeking to know if candidates for the office of mayor had a real vision of all of the factors involved which led up to the school closings. And so as we look at those candidates who are appearing on this telecast to state their case, we also want to look at other factors that will determine if these candidates have closely examined what is possible to make a change. All nine candidates weighed in on that question, and they also weighed in on the next question: what are your plans to address learning loss and social emotional gaps that have emerged during the past 3 years of the COVID pandemic? First candidate, Cam Buckner, stated, "We need to focus on proactively improving learning. Students were impacted by loss of traditional instruction, and that's the piece we need to bring back. While we can't make up for lost time, we can find ways to keep students engaged, excited, and prepared for their next steps. We need to invest in more after-school curriculum, adaptive technology, tutoring and mentoring programs, sports and the arts. And we need to use the data available to us to measure progress and adapt as needed." I'm also committed to ensuring that schools have the staffing they need to support students. Every school should have at least one nurse, one librarian, and one social worker. These supports are critical for the health and safety of communities, and it's time we prioritize funding and CPS budgets to allow our schools to fully support the health and well-being of our students. Next candidate, Jesus Chuy Garcia, states, "We cannot fix a problem we refuse to see. In my own community of Little Village, I saw the impact of COVID firsthand. The teachers we lost, the students who fell behind, and the students who fell completely away. Across our city, school closures and learning loss have been hard on students, especially Black and Latino students. COVID exacerbated existing racial disparities in education outcomes and disparities for our children with disabilities. These are our children. We must reconnect with them. CPS needs to find students who have fallen out of enrollment. Each of these students needs an individual support plan that addresses their successful return. CPS needs proper resources, socio-emotional as well as academic, to help these young people be successful. We need to understand the impact COVID had on families, and I intend to provide mental health services in every community to help families recover. This requires collaboration rather than competition with Cook County. To increase necessary funding streams, we'll be making the case in Springfield to accelerate the timeline to fully fund the EBFF. Next candidate, Jamal Green. He states, "The learning loss and social emotional gaps that have emerged in the past 3 years are a tragic casualty of the COVID-19 pandemic. My administration would work with experts on education, psychology, and neurological development and determine the solution that would benefit students the most. As someone who has had trouble learning in school myself, I recognize that every child learns differently and am committed to ensuring students have the resources needed to succeed by meeting their individual needs." Next candidate, Brandon Johnson. "Let's remember that students and families are still struggling with the pandemic, and there is much trauma and recovery that must occur, especially among Black and brown students and families who make up the majority of CPS students, like my own. First, we must address the trauma that existed pre-pandemic and acknowledge that COVID-19 exposed and exacerbated conditions around cleanliness, bilingual education, access to technology, special education services, and more. The city leaders left unaddressed for decades, asking a student to catch up on math when they are still recovering from the death of a loved one or a classmate. It's inhumane. Students and families must have trauma support, such as weekly cognitive behavioral therapy, and students need summer jobs and engaging programs. Support students and staff. Students need summer jobs and engaging programming. Support student and staff mental health by infusing school with mental health professionals like counselors and clinicians so that unaddressed trauma is acknowledged and treated, and learning is more of the focus from day to day. Teachers and staff need adequate time and professional development to help address student needs, and educators need to be empowered with planning time to reinvigorate curriculum and work with students to ensure instructional practices and pedagogy meet students' needs and interests." Next candidate, Sophia King. To help our students recover from the impacts of the pandemic, both academically and emotionally, we need to provide the support they need. This includes extended post-school support, including one-on-one help and in-person tutoring, along with other co-curricular activities. We also have to have more counselors and mental health clinicians to take care of their emotional needs. We can recruit former teachers and aspiring teachers from our surrounding colleges to help support the demand. And next candidate, incumbent Mayor Lori Lightfoot. She states, "We're prioritizing the academic and social-emotional needs of students, families, and staff. This year's CPS budget includes over $188 million to support our students' academic recoveries and social and emotional learning. This includes $30 million for our summer school program, $20 million for our out-of-school program, programming $20 million for our tutorial core, $40 million for new technology devices for students and staff, $13 million for mental health supports and trauma-informed interventions, $12 million for student and family re-engagement, home visits, and truancy prevention, $5 million for universal social and emotional learning curriculum, $5 million for early literacy resourcing, and more. Compared to last year, this year's budget includes $45 million increases for special education and a $42 million increase for district-funded teaching positions." Next candidate, Roderick Sawyer. "We still don't know all the ramifications COVID had, but we know it's significant and may get worse. We have to create several priorities. One, immediately increase the number of counselors available to CPS so they can assess the needs of these children and design specific recovery programs. Programs would focus not only on making up for missed education, improving math and reading abilities, for example, but also on ways to address the social and emotional growth opportunities missed. And two, make our schools robust community centers open all day and all year. Schools should be open into the evenings and on weekends for athletic organizations, social clubs, and community groups. They should offer programs that assist children in other learning and life experiences. They should have continuing education and job training programs for adults. When we reset and reinvent CPS, we must understand that one counselor for every 444 students is nowhere near enough to address the needs of students, not even in the best of times. Certainly not when making up for lost time." Next candidate, Paul Vallis. "The loss of learning due to the COVID pandemic has been unprecedented. We must work to ensure that our children catch up and be competitive in their future. In order to meet the gap our children are facing, I will open all school buildings through weekends and summers. We need to invite community organizations to provide enrichment to students in the CPS during these off hours, as well as invite retired CPS teachers to provide tutoring and academic support to students." And finally, Dr. Willie Wilson's response. He states, "The schools were closed too long, and this hurt our children. We need to offer after-school curriculum to help those students that may have fallen behind. Also, if warranted, open schools on Saturdays to help our students. I would engage parents, teachers, and key stakeholders to fix this issue. Also, provide mental health counseling in our schools." Well, these are just two of the answers, two of the questions asked of all aspiring mayoral candidates on the issue of education. Consider what you heard, and if you have not yet early voted, now's your chance to speak your choice. Until next time, I'm Naeem Latif. You've been listening to On Air Daily News. Enjoy the rest of your day.